fourth chapter of Hilchas Gzeila Vaveda, the laws of robbery and lost objects. This perek contains 17 halachas. Perek Revi, the fourth chapter, halacha Aleph. Knas konsu chachamim lagazlonim. There was a penalty our sages inflicted upon thieves. Shiyeh hanigzel nishpa al kol ma sheyitein v'netel min hagazlon. That the one who was robbed has the right to take an oath on anything, any of his claims, and he recovers this amount from the thief. In other words, this is a penalty. Although he has no proof that it was taken, once we have proven that this person is a gazlan, the one who was robbed has the right to claim whatever he wants without substantiation and force the gazlan to repay. However, this is only when the thief has been definitely determined to be a thief by testimony of two witnesses. Halacha based ketzanen. Let's have an example of this. We mentioned in the last halacha of Perek Gimel that if someone who has lent another money, Reuven has lent Shimon money, for example, and Shimon does not pay, Reuven is prohibited from taking a mashkin, an object, as collateral for repayment of the loan. And should he do so, he is a gazlan. So in this case, he entered his friend's house, Reuven entered Shimon's house, in order to take a mashkin collateral for repayment of a loan. Bifne Eidim, and there were witnesses. And when he entered Shimon's house, there was nothing under his clothing. The Yotza, the Kalim Mutalim Laitachas Knafav. When he left, there were things obviously hidden underneath his coat. But the witnesses do not know exactly what was under the coat. They can't see it. It's under his coat. So they know that he is a thief, definitely, because he went there without something under his coat, and he left with something under his coat. And they know he went in there in order to take collateral. But they don't know what. That he stole from me such and such, he stole from me this, and he stole from me that. These things are missing. So in this case, regardless of what the thief says, he is responsible to pay back the owner. Regardless of whether the thief says a total lie, it says, I never entered the house and I didn't take anything. Both of which are contradicted by the two witnesses, that I did go in there to take collateral just like the witnesses saw. But I didn't take anything. The witnesses saw there was something under my coat. The only thing that was under there were things which belonged to me. And it could be he's not even directly contradicting the witnesses. He could claim that the Shimon borrowed some things from me, and I was just taking them back. And Bein Sha'omar, and even if he says, Natalti Kliza, that I took this object. The owner says that not only did he take that which he admits, he took something else as well. What happens in such a case? The owner of the house who was robbed must take an oath and through grasping an object, such as a Torah scroll. And when he does so, he is believed totally and he recovers whatever he claims from the thief. To understand the idea of an oath with Nikitas Chayfetz, in general there are two types of oaths. There is a shvua de rabbanin, otherwise known as shvuas heses by rabbinic decree, and there's shvuas hatera, an oath which one is required to take by law of the Torah, such as the meida b'miktzas and other cases. The law is that when one takes an oath by Torah decree, one must hold a holy object such as a Torah scroll when one takes the oath. This is in order to impress the person with the seriousness of making a false oath, to prevent them from doing so. Sometimes when the sages have instituted a case of an oath, they have made it similar, me'ed shalteira, just like a Torah oath, and they have decreed that one should hold an object, such as a Torah scroll in one's hand when making the oath. And so too in this case, the owner must take this oath, benekitas chayfetz. However, halacha gimel, b'med varim amurim, when do we believe the owner totally? To allow him to recover everything from the thief. B'shatad varim, shu'an b'hem. When he claims things that we can sensibly estimate that he would have. Or he is such a person that they, people, he would be entrusted with such objects that he is claiming. So if Shimon, for example, is taking tzedakah because he has no money of his own, and he says that Reuven came into his house and he stole $1 million, in such a case, we would not believe Shimon to allow him to take an oath and recover all this money. Because obviously Shimon, look at the way he lives, he doesn't have any $1 million. And so too, nobody would trust Shimon with $1 million to hold. They wouldn't give it to him, they'd put it in the bank or to somebody more trustworthy, somebody that wouldn't need the money so much. So therefore, we would not believe him in his claim. And so too, v'ton b'dvarim she'efsha she'inot lo tachas ha'knafayim, k'mo she'ido eidim. And so too, only if he is claiming for objects which it's possible to hide underneath his coat, like the witnesses saw. In other words, he is relying on the witnesses' testimony. He can't claim that Reuven stole his car. Even though it's possible Reuven stole his car, but he has no witnesses for that. And therefore, we cannot believe him to recover the value of the car from Reuven. The only thing he is relying on is the witnesses. Obviously, the car doesn't fit under his coat. So he cannot claim and recover the value of the car. He can only claim this, that the witnesses can substantiate. Halacha Dalad. Let's say the witnesses only saw him go in, but didn't see him come out with anything. The witnesses saw him enter the house with the intention of taking an object for collateral, and they didn't see him when it came out. They saw him come out, but they didn't see anything under his coat. The owner claims that he took such and such an object, such and such objects. In that case, do we require the Goslin to pay? Even if he says the worst possible thing, gets himself in the worst trouble, and says, I never entered the house. He is clearly contradicting with the witnesses, and we would certainly believe the witnesses over him. We know for sure that he's lying here, because the witnesses saw him enter the house. Nevertheless, he doesn't have to pay. Why is that? If he would admit to the witnesses and say, I did enter the house, but I did not take anything, what would be the law? There are no witnesses contradicting him. The law would be that he would only have to make an oath by rabbinic decree that he did not take anything, and he would be free. He would not need to take anything. This is a classic case of Kefir Hakol. He denies the claim against him, and there are no witnesses. Should there be even one witness, he would be required to take a Torah oath to oppose the testimony of this witness. But there's no witness, and he's not admitting to anything, and to stealing anything. Therefore, he would be exempt from paying. It's possible he even went in with the intention of stealing, and decided not to steal. And therefore, since anyway, even if he did say that he went in, but he didn't steal, he wouldn't have to pay anyway. So what does it matter that he lied and said that he didn't enter the house? Entering the house is totally irrelevant. Even if he admitted entering the house, he wouldn't have to pay. He would just take a Shavuos Heses and be exempt. We, so to speak, split his testimony in half. And the fact that he lied in the first half of his testimony does not damage the credibility of the second half of his statement.
There was a one witness who testifies that he saw him enter, and he saw him exit also with objects underneath his clothing. And he doesn't know exactly what was taken. And the thief, and he says, I didn't take anything. Or he says, I was taking in compensation for what I was owed.
And even though in that case he is admitting he did something improper, because by taking an object for repayment of a loan by force, as we mentioned earlier, he is already considered to be a goslin. But in this case, there are no two witnesses, and he is not considered to be a goslin by his own admission. Rather, with two witnesses, and here there's only one witness. Since the witness does not know exactly what was under his garment, there is only one witness. He again takes an oath
by holding a Torah, and he swears that he did not steal, and then he is exempt. She'ena muchzik begazlon efele b'shnei edim. He is only proven to be a thief when there are two witnesses. Here there is only one. And as we mentioned earlier, one witness is not believed in order to make him pay. But one witness can make him take a biblically ordained shvua b'nikitas chefetz. And that's what he must do, take a biblical oath to deny that he stole anything. But then he is exempt since there is only one witness. Incidentally, as the Magid Mishnah points out, the Rambam's statement here, since the witness does not know what was under the clothing, this is not an exact statement. Because even if the witness did know what was underneath the clothing, still, since he's only one witness, he wouldn't be believed. And the suspected thief would be allowed to take an oath, a biblical oath, and nevertheless be exempt from repayment. And the Rambam mentions it in order to hint at a following halacha in halacha Yud Gimel, as the Magid Mishnah explains. In halacha base, we learned that since two witnesses saw this person enter the house and leave with something, he is assumed, he is proven by their testimony to be a gazlan. And therefore, even though the witnesses cannot testify as to what he took, and the owner of the object was in the house, and he says that such and such objects were taken, therefore we believe the owner, and the entire value must be repaid. The next three halachas deal with the case when the owner was not in the house, someone else was in the house. Halacha vav. Just like the owner of the house, the owner of the objects can take an oath and then take what he claims has been stolen from the gazlan, so too someone who was guarding the house of this person, and even the shemer's wife, not even the shemer, the guard himself, but the guard's wife, even she can take an oath. Not only she's not the wife of the man, she's just the wife of the guard. She can also take an oath that such and such objects were taken, and then the thief must repay. However, Halacha Zayin, Hoyesham Lakite Yischira Shel Baal HaBayis. Let's say the only ones in the house were the Lakite, someone who was hired to collect fruit from the field, or a Schira, someone who was a hired worker. Neither of these two are responsible for the entire what goes on in the house and everything which is taken and all of the objects in the house. These people ain't a nishboim v'neitlin. They are not allowed to take an oath and recover this which was taken, since they are not responsible for all of the objects. So what can be done over here? Veina nigzel yachal lishava. Who's going to take the oath? Eina nigzel yachal lishava. The one who was robbed, the balabayis, is not allowed to swear. Sharei lehoyev bevesa b'shashak nigzel. He was not there at the time of the theft, so he can't swear that this was stolen. Maybe somebody else took it. How can he swear that this person stole such and such a thing? He can't take such an oath. He didn't see it. How about the witnesses? Veina eidim yeidim manotel tachas kanafav k'dei lechayev agazel nachzir. The witnesses that don't know what was underneath his clothing in order to require him to pay back. If they knew what he took on their testimony, he would have to return it. So who's left to give an oath to over here? Maybe we can make at least the thief take an oath. Maybe the gazlan will have to take an oath. Let him swear that he didn't take the objects. And if he refuses to swear, he'll have to pay. You can't do that either. Vein mashpinas a gazlan. You cannot make this thief take an oath. Because he is suspected that he's going to lie in an oath. After all, you have two witnesses here saying that he's a gazlan, that he's a thief. How could you believe a gazlan? Obviously, if he's someone that's so morally corrupt that he's going to steal and be a gazlan. What makes you think he's not going to lie in the oath as well? Therefore, nobody can take an oath to recover the money. So Allah ches v'keitzer eisim b'dinzeh. So what can you do in such a thing? The Magid Mishnah explains that the Rambam is giving us takanas ha-ga'enim, what the ga'enim, after the generations of the Gemara, established. Machrim ba'alabayas cheirim stam. The balabayas, the owner, can declare publicly a chedim without specifically indicating the name of the person who is suspected. That's a chedim stam. Chedim, a sort of an excommunication to a person that without mentioning the name. In other words, he was placed in the chedim. Anybody, al misha notol mi beisei klum, anyone that stole anything from his house, ve'ein amayde bebezdin, and is not admitting it in court.
And although everyone knows who he means over here, since he is not explicitly saying the name, this could be applied to anybody in the world who stole from his house. And therefore he is allowed to make such a statement. And hopefully this will intimidate the person to return this which was stolen. And even if the thief admits that he stole a little bit, all he must do is return the little bit he admits to. Because the owner is not making a definite claim from him. This is touching on the idea of Maida Mimiktsas. The law of the Torah is that if someone is accused, for example, of stealing $100, and he admits, no, I own, or he owes Reuven or Shimon $100, Shimon claims of Reuven. Reuven answers, I don't own $100, I don't owe $100, I owe only $50. Since he has admitted partially, we assume that he just doesn't have the strength or the chutzpah to lie the whole way, and he is only trying to delay total repayment, and therefore the Torah requires him, he's a Maida Mimiktsas, and he must take an oath of the Torah in order to deny the other part, otherwise he is required to pay. In this case, even if the owner claims that he stole from me $100, and he says, I only stole $50, so we would think this would be a Maida Mimiktsas, and he would have to take an oath of the Torah, but since we know he's a thief, he wouldn't be able to take the oath. And therefore he'd have to pay the other $50. The law is that a Maida Mimiktsas only takes an oath, al tainus vadai, if the owner knows for sure it was taken. And here he cannot make a sure claim that he stole this money because he didn't see it happen. He knows the money's missing, but he doesn't know who took it. Therefore he cannot make a definite claim, and therefore it's not a Maida Mimiktsas. Halachatas. Hagezil echad mechamisha. He stole from one of five people. There are five people. He stole from one of them, definitely. But we don't know who actually was the victim of the theft. But all five people come running. Each one of the five is claiming from him money. You robbed from me. So we know he stole from one. But all five are claiming money. Even though there are no witnesses that he stole over here, he himself knows that he stole and he wants to return the money. In this case, each one of the five can take an oath that he stole money from him, and he returns the stolen amount to every single one of them. Why should he have to pay back all five? He knows he stole from only one. This also is a penalty, a fine, which our sages enacted, since he did a sin and he stole, our sages are strict on him and make him repay everybody. But by Torah law alone, he would not be required to repay all five, since it's a doubt. He wouldn't be required to repay anybody. He knows he stole from only one person, and although five are claiming payment, he is not required to pay by Torah law. However, our sages were strict and required, since he was already determined, he is definitely a thief, therefore he must pay back all five of them. And each of the five parties must take an oath, because one cannot take out money without taking an oath. In the previous halacha test, the suspected victims all came and claimed money from the suspected thief. What happens if they don't even know that they were robbed, and they do not come demanding money, but the thief himself comes and admits that he stole, but the thief does not know who he stole from? Halacha Yud. Omer l'shnayim, the thief went to two people and said, Gozalti echad mikem, I stole from one of you, or aviv shel echad mikem, or one of your fathers, v'eini yodei eizehu, but I don't know which one. Do the sages enact their penalty that since he is a thief, he must pay in such a case? He must pay both of them? So the law is no. If strictly according to the law, he's not required to repay both. However, if he wants to not only satisfy the strict requirement of the law, but even satisfy himself in the eyes of Hashem, in order to not get any penalty whatsoever
from the heavens, so to speak, from Hashem, then he should pay both. If he comes to go beyond the limits of the law and satisfy himself totally in the eyes of Hashem, he should return the stolen amount to both of them, and thereby repay twice of what of the amount that he knows he stole. Avol bedin, but according to law, einad noisin el gzeila achas. He is only required to give the amount he stole. V'heim cholkin eisa beinehem, and they should split it between them. If he says, if Levi goes to Reuven and Shimon and says, I stole $100 from one of you, if he wants to be yaseh b'dei shamayim, he gives $100 to each one. According to the strict law, however, he just has to give $100, and they split it between them 50-50. But because neither one knows that he was robbed or that his father was robbed. The thief himself came and notified. And our sages did not enact their penalty in such a case when the thief himself comes forth, since there is nobody claiming and asking for the money. They did not make such a penalty that he must pay everyone. The following halacha will give us various cases where the person has done some misdeed, has done some act of theft, but there are no witnesses. Halacha Yud Alef. One person demands of another that you stole from me 100. Im omar le gazalti. And he denies it totally. I didn't steal from you a penny. The law is nishba shvuas heses kedin kol nitva. He must make a rabbinic oath like the law of anyone that is claimed. As we mentioned earlier, this is the law of a kefer hakol, someone who denies the claim against him, and there are no witnesses involved. Reuven says, you owe me $100. Shimon says, I don't. There's a case that he totally denies the claim. The law is the one that is accused makes a rabbinic oath, and then he is free. However, let's say he was made in mimiktsas. He agrees partially to the claim. He admits partially, as we mentioned previously. He admits that he stole 50. He said, the one claimed, Yomi, you stole 100 from me. And he answers, no, I only stole 50. In that case, Meshalim v'nishba shvuas ateira al ashar. He must pay back the 50 which he admits to, and he must take a Torah oath, shvuas ateira, on the remaining 50, kedin kol meidim imiktsas, like any law of someone that admits partially, as we mentioned earlier. Why shouldn't he have to pay back the whole thing, like the earlier cases in our perek, when we believe, once we know he's a thief, then we believe the one that was stolen from totally. Because he has not been proven to be a thief through witnesses. Only when two witnesses have assured to us that he is a thief, only then do we believe the victim's claim totally. Since in this case it's by his own admission, it's like a regular case of meidim imiktsas. And so to one person claims from another that he entered his house and stole objects. For who I met, he answers, you're right, I went in, and you're right, I took some things from there. But derech mashkan lakachti b'chevi sheyesh li etzlacha. But I took it as collateral for the money that you owe me. But, which is something, as we mentioned earlier, which is also forbidden to do, which would also make him a thief. I don't have any of your money. I don't owe you anything. So what happens here? Even though he admits taking collateral without permission of the owner, which already automatically makes him considered a gazlan. Again, since there are no witnesses who testify that he stole, he takes an oath. The one that went to take the collateral swears that he took this as collateral for a repayment of a loan. And he can collect the money he claims is owed him from this grasped object. And why don't we say, why do we believe him in such a case? Why do we believe his oath? After all, he said he did something which is against the Torah, grabbing the collateral without permission of the owner. Shapesha asur hua pesha hitter. A principle we see many times in the Gemara. Literally, the mouth that makes it prohibited is the same mouth that makes it permitted. In other words, on the one hand, he's saying that he took the mashkin without permission, saying he did a prohibition. Without his admission, we would have nothing. So the same mouth that made him prohibited also makes him permitted, since he says that he took it as repayment for the loan, although he did something wrong. Nevertheless, we only know he took it as a result of his testimony. If he didn't open up his mouth, there are no witnesses whatsoever. He wouldn't have to take an oath. Rather, he wouldn't have to repay. He would just have to take a shvuas heses to deny having stolen anything. Since he opened up his mouth and he's the one that told us that he took the money, we also believe him to say that he took it as repayment for a loan. However, since he is taking an oath in order to take money, he must take a strict oath through holding a Torah scroll, like the Rambam says in the beginning of the laws of Tayyim V'Nitin, that any case where one is taking money as a result of his oath, our sages establish he should do so by Nikitas Chayfetz. Halacha Yud Beis. Witnesses saw this person, Ruvain, enter his neighbor's house, Shimon's house, for example, shalei bifnei balabayas, without Shimon being present. V'notel misham keilim, and they saw him carry out objects. Afal pishayit siyim magulim, even though he carries them out in the open, and apparently is not hiding anything or afraid of anything. And even though the owner of this house commonly sells objects from his house. So we might assume that since he is carrying them out without concealment, and since it's very common that this owner sells objects, very possibly we might think that the owner of the house, Shimon, made a business deal with this Reuven, sold Reuven the object, and now Reuven is picking up the object from the house. And witnesses just observed this act. Nevertheless, if Shimon goes to court and claims, Va'amar, derech gazalokhan, that he took them as a thief, I never sold him anything, he stole things from my house. V'hala oimer, and the Reuven who went into the house claims, no, he has any of the following excellent excuses. Bereshchusa bossi, I went there with your permission. Vato machartamli, and you sold them to me. Oi, or he has another excuse. Besatamli, you gave it to me as a gift. Oi, another excuse. Machayv sheyeshli etzolchata fasting. I am just grabbing it in exchange for the money you owe me anyway. All of which are plausible excuses, showing that he has a right to these objects, and certainly it's plausible if he claims that it was sold to him, and the owner usually sells things. Nevertheless, ein neman, he is not believed. Shekol anignus labeis chaveri shalei b'fonav, anyone that enters another person's house when he is not present, v'notol keili misham, and he takes objects from there, v'hitziyim mifnei edim, and he does it in front of witnesses, harizeh b'cheskas gazlan, he is assumed to be a thief. Lafichach machzer akelin labalabayas, and therefore he must return these objects to the owner. And furthermore, he does not even have to take an oath. The owner does not have to take an oath that it was stolen. There is no oath here whatsoever. Ve'ein kan shvua, there is no oath. Shahari ha'edim roma gozal. The witnesses saw it was taken. You have witnesses. Who has to take an oath? You have witnesses it was stolen. He is assumed to be a thief. He must give it back. On the other hand, we still have an unsettled matter of business here. Reuven claims that Shimon owes him money, or he claims that Shimon sold him the objects. So we still have a legal discussion here. So this, however, that Rambam says, is a separate case altogether. They'll take that to court separately. First, he must return the objects, and then he'll take him to court on this case. Once he has returned the objects, then then he can claim from the owner of the house, Shimon, anything he wants, and they will make a judgment between them. He'll claim that the money it was given to him as a gift, or that he paid money for it, it was sold to him, or that it was repayment for a loan, whatever it is. This is a separate case. It has nothing to do with him taking it out of the house. He is assumed to be a gazlan, and therefore he must return it. He has another claim against Shimon, so let him and Shimon go and fight it out in court. The next case, or the next two halachas, deals with something commonly expressed in the Rambam and in the Gemara, of an interesting case regarding, in this particular time, the idea of an eid echad. As we mentioned previously, if one witness testifies to something, the one who is being testified against must take a shvua min hateda, a biblical oath, in order to counteract the testimony of this witness. However, let's say for some reason he's unable to take this oath. If this is the case, that for whatever reason he cannot take the oath, he is required to repay the money. If he cannot take the oath, he must pay. And this will be the case in the next two halachas. Halacha Yud Gimel. The Kainim Hoyasham Eidachad Bilvat. Let's say there was only one witness who saw this person go into the house and carry out objects. And the owner of the house claims that this object was stolen by the person that entered the house. The one that enters the house claims in return one of the following excuses. I bought it. Or I took it back as repayment for a loan. Or it belonged to me in the first place. It's my object that I lent to you. Or that I lent it to you, but I kept it in your house for safekeeping. In any of these cases, so too in this case, he is required to return the object to the original owner, meaning the Shimon whose house it was, without taking any oath. And what is the explanation of this? Why should we believe only one witness? In general, we believe two witnesses. One witness is not believed. If there were two witnesses, like in the previous halacha, he would have had to pay for sure. Now there is only one witness, Chayiv Shavua. He must take an oath of the Torah. That the law is, any case, any act of testimony, where two witnesses would make him pay, one witness makes him take a biblical oath. But now, now he cannot take an oath. Why can't he take an oath? He's not contradicting the witness. What does this witness say? He says you entered the house and you carried out objects. And what does he claim? That I went into the house and I carried out objects. Exactly the same as the witness says. Except he claims something else which the witness doesn't talk about. He claims that he took it as repayment for a loan. He claims it's his object, it's his bekotten. But the witness doesn't contradict that. How could he take an oath to contradict the witness? They're saying the same thing as the witness. The witness says he went in there and carried out objects. He agrees. I went and I carried out objects. It's my object. It was for a loan. The witness doesn't know who it belongs to. So in this case, he is required to take a shvua. But he can't. What kind of shvua can he take? There's no oath to contradict the witness. And the principle is, anyone that is required to take an oath and for some reason cannot take the oath is required to pay. And that's what happened here. Lefichach, therefore, im kofar, if he denies the whole story, va'omar, and he says, loy nichnasti lebeisei, I never went into the house, v'loy notalti klum, I didn't take anything, the whole story never happened. What happens in this case? A witness says he went into the house and carried something out. He claims, I never went into the house, I never carried anything out. Hoyel ve'en shomel le'edechot, v'hu machishei. Since there's only one witness and he's contradicting him, he must take a biblical oath that he did not take anything from the house, v'nifter, and then he is potter, he is exempt. Like any other case where there's eight echad, if there were two witnesses, he would have to pay. Since there's only one witness, he has to take an oath. So he takes his oath, he contradicts the witness. The witness says that he went in and took objects. He says, I didn't take anything. Since he is contradicting the testimony of this witness, he is exempt from payment, which is not the case in the beginning of halacha. He claims that I did take something. He agrees with the witness, but says, I took my own money. In such a case, he cannot swear to contradict the testimony of the witness. Halacha Yudalit. Maisa be'echet shechotav loshen shel kesef. There is a story in the Gemara of someone who grabbed a piece of silver miyad chaveiro bifnei edechod from his neighbor in front of a witness. And along came the person who grabbed this piece of silver, and he said, Chatafti v'shali chatafti. I taka grabbed it, I admit, but I grabbed it, what belongs to me, it was my piece of silver. The sages determined he must give the money back. He must give the piece of silver back. Why? He must take an an oath in order to contradict this witness. Just like any other case of Eid Echad with his one witness, he is required to take Shvua Satera, biblically ordained oath to contradict the witness. He can't take an oath here. He admitted to everything the witness said. The witness said he went in and took the silver. He says, I went in and took the silver. He says it belongs to me, but the witness doesn't talk about that. So how can he take an oath to contradict his witness? If there was no witness whatsoever, he would take a rabbinic shvua, rabbinic oath, that he grabbed what belongs to him. Because the owner would say, he stole a piece of silver from me. He would disagree and says, no, I just took back my own piece of silver. It would be a regular case of kefir hakel. He is denying the claim against him. There are no witnesses. He would have to take a rabbinic shvua. On the other hand, if he disagreed completely with the witness and said, I never grabbed anything, he would be able to take a biblical shvua against the one witness that he didn't take anything, like we said in the previous halacha. But since he doesn't, he has to repay. And then similarly, we say in any law of this type, any place, whether in Eretz Yisrael or outside Eretz Yisrael, the same law applies. As we said in the last few halachas. Halacha Tesvav, a variation on the previous cases. Chatef mimeno zahuvim be'eit echad. He grabbed gold pieces, and one witness saw him do it. He went into the house and came out with gold pieces. He claims, I was grabbing my own money, it wasn't his, and there were 20 gold pieces. Afo pisha eina eid yodea kama chataf. Even though in this case there's a very serious difficulty in the testimony, because the witness knows he took gold pieces, but he doesn't know how many. He nevertheless must pay back all 20. Why? The witness does know for sure that he took gold pieces. If there were two witnesses that he took the gold pieces, even though the two witnesses didn't know how many there were, he would have to pay back the entire amount. As we mentioned in the Halacha Beis, two witnesses that saw somebody come out with something under the coat would have to pay back. So, and in any case where two witnesses would make him pay, one witness makes him take an oath. Since there's only one witness, he now has to take an oath. And so too in this case, in this case he cannot take an oath, because he's not denying what the witness said. The witness said he took gold pieces. He also says he took gold pieces. And even though in this case, if he had said he only took 10, he'd have to pay 10. If he said he took 2, he'd have to pay 2. But since he cannot take an oath to deny this one witness, and he admits that he took 20, he must pay back the whole 20. And another fascinating ramification, Halacha Tazayin. Amar Achetev, the one that grabbed, said, Esrim Chatafti Veshalihem. That I did grab, but I grabbed 20 gold pieces, all of which belonged to me. Vanigzalaymer, the one who was robbed, says, Meya Chataf. You took 100. And there was one witness now. Now the witness now does not know how many were taken. In the previous case, we said even though the witness doesn't know how many, he must pay back the 20 he admitted to. Now we have the additional complicating factor that the owner says that he was stolen 100. Hey, 100 was stolen from him. Hari meshalim ha'esrim shahaytabahem. He must pay back the 20 that he admitted to he admitted to taking, just as in Halacha Tesvav. And what about the rest of it? V'nishpa shvua satera al hashar. He must take a biblically ordained oath on the remainder. Shahari neschayev v'miktsas, because he has a made of v'miktsas. The owner says, you took 100. He says, I took only 20. This is a regular case of made of v'miktsas, as we mentioned a few times earlier. He must pay what he admits to, and take an oath of the Torah denying the other 80. However, the Rambam says, "V'daiti naita bazeh," but my opinion is leaning sheish v'heses, that he does not have to take a Torah oath. That this is not a regular case of meidah v'miktsas. He must take only rabbinic oath to deny the other 80.
Shaharei lehoida klum. He didn't admit whatsoever to the claim of 100. Ela omer shelicha tafti. I took my own. A regular case of meida b'miktus. One person would say to another, you took 100 out of my house, you stole 100. And he says, no, I stole only 20. He is admitting to part of the claim and denying the rest of it. Over here, the owner says, you stole from me 100. He doesn't say, I stole 20. He says, I didn't steal anything. I took 20. But shelicha tafti, I took my own money. Is that called a meida b'miktus? Rambam says that although it looks like meida b'miktus since he's admitting to part of the claim and he does have to pay 20, it looks like meida b'miktus and therefore you might think he has to make a toro. But the Rambam says his opinion is that this is not meida b'miktus. He's not agreeing. He doesn't admit to any theft. He says, I stole my own. He admits he took 20, but he says the 20 was his. That's not an agreement. This fits with the general explanation about why the sages were so strict on a meida b'miktus. Why should someone that completely denies the claim make only a rabbinic oath, whereas a meida b'miktus must take a Torah oath? The Gemara says that since the person really wants to pay back the entire amount, he doesn't have the money now. He would also like to deny the whole thing, but it's not likely that a person should be lying should he say directly in front of the one that's accusing him, I don't owe you a penny. If he owes him $100, how could he lie straight in his face like that right in front of the court? It's not so likely he would do that. We make him swear, but only rabbinic oath. This is not so normal that he would have such chutzpah, such gall to completely deny the claim. But he could figure like this. Listen, I don't have the money to pay him, so I'll admit a little bit. He does have the chutzpah to say that he owes him only 20. After all, he's not a total liar. He does owe him the 20. So since in this case it's much more likely a person should lie, or say the Torah tells us that he must take an oath of the Torah, since it's very likely he's lying, let us call his cards and make him take a Torah oath. However, so that's the reason for meida b'miktus, that since he is not completely denying the claim against him, we suspect him of lying. Over here, the Rambam says, although he admits he took 20, he is still completely denying the claim against him. Because the owner says that he was robbed. And he says, I didn't take anything from you. This is my own money I'm taking back. He admits to the 20, but he is not admitting whatsoever to the idea of theft. Therefore, says the Rambam, this is not a regular case of meida b'miktus. The final halacha in the parak is very similar to the last case. In this case, there's also one witness. However, the weakness of this case is that the owner did not see the theft take place. Therefore, the owner does not have a solid claim against the suspected thief. Halacha Yudzayin. Nichnas labeisa shel chaveri shalei bafanov. He entered the person's house when he was not there. V'notel misham keilim bifnei eid echad. And he took out objects in front of one witness. And again, ve'eino eid yodea kamanato. And the witness does not know how much was taken. The owner says, previously there were 20 objects in my house, and now obviously they're all missing. So he's claiming that since one witness saw him go in and go out with things, it must be this one that took all 20. But the one that took them admits, I took only 10, and furthermore they belong to me, like in the previous few cases. What's the din? Over here we said that a person cannot make another one meida b'miktus if it's only a tainus shema, if he cannot make a definite claim. And over here there's no definite claim. On the other hand, he does have to take an oath in order to contradict the one witness. Because one witness saw him take things. Does he have to, can he take an oath against this witness? No, just like in the previous cases in Halacha Tezvav, he must take an oath, but he can't, he agrees with the witness. So Chayev Lachzir Asara, he must pay back 10. Why? He is required to take an oath to contradict this one witness. He cannot take the oath because he says the same thing as the witness. The witness says he went in and took. He agrees he went in and took, but says that he took his own. So therefore, the 10, he must pay. However, what about the rest? In Halacha Tezayin, he must take an oath. According to the first opinion that Rambam brings, an oath of the Torah. And the Rambam's own opinion is only a rabbinic oath. But over here, Ve'ein Nishbal Ashar. Over here, he doesn't have to take an oath on the remainder, which he is in conflict with the owner of the house. Afilu Shvuas Heses.
Even a rabbinic oath he doesn't have to take. Since the owner does not have a definite argument against the thief, the suspected thief, because he only assumes that 20 were taken, but he cannot testify. He cannot clearly claim that this one took 20. Maybe this one taka took 10, and somebody else came in and took 10. So since he has no claim, he cannot force the one that went in to take the objects to take any sort of oath whatsoever.